Lovely. Well, it's really nice to join you this morning for worship, even though I'm obviously joining you by Zoom. But how amazing it is that we have become adapted to some of the new technologies, which is just great. Just great. Adds a whole new dimension to us being able to offer our worship. I have a bit of a confession to make this morning. So we are in church, so this is a good place to begin with our confessions. I am a people watcher. I wonder how many of you might do the same. Wherever I go, I'm kind of looking out, seeing what other people might be doing. And I want to share a little bit of an experience I had. Many, many years ago, I used to travel extensively for work. This was before I was ordained. I did crazy traveling. I would go to the States twice a month. I would travel all the way around Europe. And then I became a minister, and all of that traveling stopped. But a few months ago, I had need to make a very rapid trip into France. And I traveled with my dog collar on, with my clerical shirt on, because I was only traveling with hand luggage. Didn't want a change of clothes. I thought I'll just go simple. And I was absolutely amazed to see how people reacted to me with a dog collar on. I had smiles. I had good morning, father. Not that I'm father. I had doors open for me. I was royally welcomed onto the aircraft. Would I like help to stow my luggage? It was absolutely amazing. But that got me thinking as I watched people around me and how they reacted to me. What were they really like inside? Was this how they normally were? Was I just fortuitous that I happened to be traveling with a whole group of very Christian-minded people? Or were they simply reacting to the fact that what they saw me wear? And they were obviously just as quick to make a judgment about me as perhaps I was to make a judgment about them. We do judge people whether we want to accept that or not. And I think the saying goes, isn't it? Something like you judge people within about the first 10 seconds of meeting somebody. You create an impression, you make a decision, you have a sense of what you think about them. In our gospel reading today from Mark, we have a wonderful example of people watching, but in biblical times. The scribes and the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, those who were keen to uphold the legalistic religion that was the one that Jesus grew up in. They had traveled to see Jesus teaching and to see the disciples, and horror upon horror, they made a very quick judgment about those disciples. They were eating without having washed their hands. I wonder how often, if you have children, you might have scolded them for coming to the table with dirty hands. But in this particular setting, it has a different context. Because what was being taught as part of the religion was you needed to be careful not to defile yourself, to take you away from God, to not have that right relationship with God. And some of the things that you had to do may to us today seem a little strange. One of those, of course, was you had to wash your hands before you would eat. You had to wash all the produce that you might get from the marketplace. And buried in the book of Leviticus, there are some fantastic rules and regulations on how you should wash your cups, your pots, and your bronze kettles, should you have any. It sounds a bit like a series of public health statements than it does have anything to do with organized religion. Jesus very quickly recognizes what is happening here, and he challenges them. He challenges those scribes and those Pharisees by quoting to them from the book of Isaiah. You hypocrites, he says, you are hypocrites. You try to honor God with your lips, but not with your hearts. You teach human precepts. You teach human thoughts. You teach human ways of living as doctrines, as things that people need to do to find God. And you have abandoned the commandments of God. You prefer to hold to human tradition, putting those things ahead of God's tradition. He reminds them that nothing outside of a person can defile them by going in. What defiles people, what takes them away from God, is what comes from within that then comes out by what we might say, or indeed what we might do or not do. The Jewish faith in biblical times was hugely legalistic. And clearly for those scribes and the Pharisees, their job was to try to ensure that those rules, those human traditions would continue and would continue to be fulfilled. In many parts of the New Testament, particularly in the letters, in the epistles, and especially from some of St. Paul's writings, balanced a little bit by a reading from James, there's a great debate about how we get righteousness, how we get that right relationship with God. Faith or deeds? Well, clearly the Jewish tradition was all around being based on deeds. St. Paul argues very strongly that it's about faith. But James strikes a lovely balance. You do need to have faith, but you also need to have deeds. James, in his letter, is writing to the early Jewish Christians scattered around the Mediterranean area, scattered due to persecution. And he is calling them to do something. Be doers of the word, he says. Don't just be merely hearers. So there is something that James is arguing to be done, but it isn't necessarily the same kind of things that the scribes and the Pharisees were arguing to the disciples that they should be doing. James gives us that lovely analogy. If you are only hearers of the word, you forget very quickly what might have been said. You need to put into action the things that you have heard. And he gives us that symbolism of, if all you do is hear, it's like looking at yourself in a mirror, walking away from the mirror, and then forgetting what you actually look like. We need to implant the word within us. And when we do that, then what comes from within us are actions, our practice. Our practice makes perfect, and that word will not only just be implanted, but will grow and develop. St. James offers a lovely insight to what doing religion might actually look like. Be quick to listen, he says. Be slow to speak. St. James is the one who often talks about bridling our tongues. Be slow to anger, and some social responsibility actions. Care for orphans, care for widows in their distress. But perhaps his suggestion to those early Christians and to us is the most important, the final one he gives. Keep oneself unstained by the world. The world's values then and today are very different to the values which we as Christians have signed up to do. Those values that lie deep within us. We are the fruits of God's creation, and we are judged as such by what we do. Now, that may be what we say, but also our actions, our day-to-day actions. So as you journey this week around your localities, perhaps further afield, with family and friends, or perhaps strangers in the supermarket, spare a moment to think. If somebody is watching you, what do they see? Do they say somebody who is living to the values of this world? Or do they see somebody who is trying to live to the values of what Christ taught us? Are we people who seek to live out our faith day by day in what we say and what we do? Or are we really only just hearers, happy to hear God's word, happy to feel that lives inside of us, but not really willing to show it to anyone? Our actions are missional. When we show Christian love and the values that we have been taught to others, then that has a knock-on effect. It encourages others in their journey, in their daily lives. And when we do that, then we certainly aren't stained by the world. Amen.